All right, good morning. Today's daf in Sanhedrin, Sadi Hey. We are on Sadi Dal Amud Beis. We are at the wide lines. We are starting today with Zacharei Advarim VaEmes. It's three wide lines in on Sadi Dal Amud Beis. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perek Chelik, we are discussing the attack on Yerushalayim by Sancheriv during the Bayisrishon, during the First Temple. So Sancheriv Melechasha, the Assyrians, led by the king Sancheriv, laid a successful campaign against the northern kingdom. They came in from the north, and they attacked the northern kingdom, and they obliterated, they annihilated the entire northern kingdom. In terms of the people, they didn't kill them, they dispelled them, and sent them into exile. The Gemara yesterday asked a question, which we asked now for the last 2,500 years, and that is, where did they go? The Gemara gave us a couple of geographical locations in terms of where the northern kingdom went. It doesn't help us to this day. We do not have certainty in terms of where exactly we can find the ten northern kingdoms. It's much discussed and much theorized, but bottom line is we don't know. The Gemara now is discussing the second part of Sancheriv's campaign. Sancheriv's campaign is now going to go from the northern kingdom into the southern kingdom, and he's going to attack Yehuda. And the king that was ruling in Yehuda was Chizkiyahu, as I already mentioned yesterday, but let's just quickly review. So Chizkiyahu was a fantastic king. He was really a bright spot in what is not the best line of kings from Malchus David. His father was Achaz. His father was a Ovid Avodah Zarah. His son is Menashe. His son is also an Ovid Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Gemara, if you remember the Mishnah back in the beginning of the 11th Perek, had a machlokus whether or not Menashe gets or does not get a chelikim in Olam Haba. So he's in that kind of category of bad. And yet, between Achaz and between Menashe, say, the king Chizkiyahu. This is towards the end of Bayis Rishon. It's not at the end. And he was a real bright spot. In fact, we're going to be learning over the course of this morning that he really ignited a wave of learning amongst the Jewish people, one that was never experienced previously. I mean, obviously, it was Moshe Rabbeinu and such, but the kind of learning that has not been for a long time. And, maybe it's fair to argue that, we haven't seen it maybe, until this very day. Although now learning, Baruch Hashem, has gotten much more popular. But the he really brought about Limud HaTorah in Yehuda. In fact, we're going to learn about how forceful he was regarding it. That's coming up a little bit later on this morning. So anyway, so Sancheriv is going to lay campaign on Yehuda. Now, the spoiler of all this, and just give it away, I mean, it's part of history, is that he was unsuccessful. Sancheriv and his army was unsuccessful. Now, he did have 185,000 soldiers amassed at the edge of Yerushalayim, and he just successfully destroyed the entire northern kingdom. So what exactly happened that led to his demise and defeat? And he was not able to conquer Yehuda. So if you don't know the answer to that, stay tuned. That's also coming up a little bit later on this morning. Okay, so these are all all the discussions and issues that we've been discussing. Today, primarily, the daf is dedicated to this topic of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. We're going to also explore a little bit about, we're going to go back in history. We're going to go discuss Novi or Kohanim and David HaMelech and his involvement with Novi or Kohanim. That's also coming up a little bit later on. Okay, but the majority of today's daf is going to be discussing this. The events were related. There is a connection between the events. Absolutely correct. Okay, so now we are in Psukim and Divrei Hayamim, right? We are all over Tanakh right now, but right now we're in Tanakh that deals with the historical period of Chizkiyahu. So where are the primary sources for that? You'll look at Malachim Beis. So you'll see the Navi there. Discussing these incidents, and also Sefer Yeshayahu. Another primary source for this, Yeshayahu, the Navi, lived during the time of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. So you're going to see many Pesukim in Yeshayahu dealing with this event as well. Yirmiyahu comes later on. Yirmiyahu is during Chorban Bayis Sheni. So Yirmiyahu did not witness these events. Okay. So after these things, and the pasuk over here, this is the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. So it's a little bit strange. It says ha'emes ha'ela, right? On these truths, what truths we'll get to in just a moment. So Sancheriv, together with his army, his Assyrian army, is now encamped on Yehuda, and he's ready to be mevakea. Mevakea means to split into two, meaning he wants to destroy it. The Gemara asked the question very succinctly, Hai Rishna Lahai Pardashna. Rashi explains the Gemara's question over here as follows. Rashi says, sorry, let me just find it. Remember, there's no Tosfos on these Dapim. It's all Rashi. High Pradishna, Rashi can be found on the right-hand column towards the bottom. You're going to bring this gift to this man, meaning Chizkiah was all about Emes. As we're going to see in just a moment, he was all about Limud HaTorah. How could it possibly be that Chizkiah, who was all about Limud HaTorah, is now going to have a war against him by Sancheriv? He didn't deserve it. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara answers, Kadosh Baruch made the following oath, meaning the Achar, right? We just saw this recently. I mean, we have it by the Akedat Yitzchak. Acharei Advarim Ha'ila, right? The Gemara just recently darshan. What does that mean? So over here, the Achar means after what? After Kadosh Baruch Hu himself made a shvua, and the Gemara gives us the background information. Let's say I were to go to Chizkiah and say the following to him. Look, Chizkiah, how about I have Sancheriv come down, descend into your territory, into Yehuda, but you'll defeat him. You open for that? So, Maisina Sancheriv Masan Leviadech, Hasha Amar, so Lohu Beina Velo Bisusa Beina. But he says, I know Chizkiah, I know what he's going to say. He says, I don't want him, I don't want the fear. Meaning, look, even if I'm going to defeat him, I don't want it. It's too much stress, anxiety, not interested. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a shvua. Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Chizkiah wouldn't want it, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a shvua in order to bring it about. This is now Yeshayahu, 14th parak of Yeshayahu. Nishba Hashem Tzvakos, Lemorim lo kasher dimisi kein haisa, v'chasher ya'atzi hisakom. Whatever I counsel, that's what's going to come to be. Lishbor Asher Bartzi, I'm going to break Asher in my country. Valhare Avuseno, Vesar Ma'aleim Ulo, Visubalo, Me'al Shichmo Yasur. And I'm going to break it. Now, the word Avus is like a trowel. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara now focuses on that word in Sefer Yeshayahu. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yavos Sancheriv V'Siyato V'Yase Avus L'Chizkiah L'Siyaso. What's going to happen is that Sancheriv is going to basically become a trowel for Chizkiah. A trowel is, you know, where the animal puts his head in and eats from the trowel. So that's what Sancheriv is going to be. Meaning Sancheriv is going to end up being at the border of Yehuda. As we're going to learn later on, the entire army dies. And now in comes Yehuda, all the Jews from Yehuda, and they're going to loot. And they're going to take from the army in Sancheriv. So basically Sancheriv is going to turn into a trowel for Chizkiah and all the people of Chizkiah. Okay. We're now moving towards Yeshayahu Perek Yud, the 10th Perek of Yeshayahu. Vayaba Yamahu Yasur, Subalo Me'al Shechmecha, Vulo Me'al Tzavarech, V'chubal O Mipnei Shaman. So the Navi says, and again, the Pesukim in the Navi are really hard to understand, both in and out of context. It's just, they're difficult Pesukim. But basically, the Pesuk is describing how I'm going to remove the yoke, I'm going to, from your neck, and I'm going to destroy the yoke, chubal ol, mipnei shaman, because of the oil. What is that talking about? Gemara goes on to explain. I'm Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, chubal ol, shal sancherv mipnei shmano, shal chizkiyahu, shal adolik bevati knesos, bevati medrashos. The yoke of sancherv is going to be broken by the oil of chizkiyahu, meaning to say that chizkiyahu had oil, light, being lit in the shuls and in the base medrashes, and that's where he had everyone learning. Ma'asa. The Gemara goes on to explain, what did Chizkiyahu do? How did he introduce so much learning into the Jewish people? So Na'at Cherva Pesach Beis Medrash. So he had a sword at the entrance to the Beis Medrash. V'amar Kol Mishenu Osek B'Torah Yidake B'Cherav Zu. So the one who does not learn Torah is going to be stabbed with the sword. Okay, so it's an aggressive marketing tool in terms of getting people into the Beis Medrash and learning. Admittedly. Okay, but it was effective. So, Batka Bindan, the Ad Be'er Sheva. Now, in terms of making sure that people not only study Torah, but new Torah, he tested them. He tested people from Dan, which is to the north, all the way to Be'er Sheva, which is all the way in the south, V'lo Matsu Amma Aretz, and he didn't find a single Amma Aretz. Meaning, so he had basically total fluency of all the Jewish people in Limud HaTorah. Remember, like I described earlier. Meaning there was a wave of Limud HaTorah that existed in his generation, and he was the cause of it. The Gemara goes on to say, Migvas, Va'ad Antiparas. From the town of Gvas to the town of Antiparas. V'lamatsu tinok v'tinokas. Ish v'isha. So children, boys, girls, men, women. Shalal yubikim v'echus tumat v'tara. And they all were fluent in the laws of tumat v'tara. Some of the more difficult esoteric works of Torah. But still, they knew it. They all knew it.
No.
It's clear. It's beferish. It's beferish. And another pasuk in Yeshayahu that on that day, ish iglas bakur shteitzon, the man of the calf and the two sheep. and the way the Gemara is understanding it in this context is that during this period of time, so people gave up a lot of their materialism. And it makes sense, meaning when you're learning Torah, so you're focused on the spiritual and you do away with some of the materialism. You know, people had, right, an animal, two sheep, meaning they didn't have a lot of possessions. V'omer, v'ayaba yamahu yekol makom ashiya sham elef gefen be'elef kesef l'shamir l'shay siyyeh. And the Gemara quotes other psukim from Yeshayahu describing these days. During these days, people had tremendous property. And l'shamir l'shayis yiyeh. You know what they did with the properties? Nothing. They left the properties. So alpha pi shaya elef kigef and belef kesef. Even though they had the properties that were, right, a thousand vineyards that were valued at 1,000 silver. In other words, they had a lot of property. So l'shamir l'shayis yiyeh. So they wouldn't work the land, meaning they were too busy learning Torah. Okay, good. It's good, Muster. V'usaf, again, in Sefer Yeshayahu. V'usaf shalachem, osef hachasil. The pasuk goes on to describe that you're going to be gathering from the booty, much like the locusts gather. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Amalem, navi l'Yisrael, isbu shalachem. So, you need to gather from the spoils, meaning all the soldiers of Sancheriv that were dead. So you gather. So Amrulo. So the Jews asked, Livzos o lechalok. So are we to amass it for ourselves, or are we to divide it for others? If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, what was their shiloh? Lishalal. Rashi now is on the left hand column. Rashi is towards the top. It's the third narrow line. So, kol echa ve'echa l'atzmo, one possibility is, okay, fine, so we're entitled to all the booty. Does that mean basically anyone who takes gets to keep it? Oh, lachlok b'yachad osamam shenishal mechal sancheriv. Or maybe no. Maybe what we have to do is we have to divide it, meaning we gather, but then we divide. Okay, so that is their question that they had. Lishtachrina, now Rashi admittedly does have another pshat in the Gemara over here. Lachlok l'achirim ma sha'anu sholim aval anu asurim ba'osu shal shemamu shebazu ma'aser sashvatim urabo dika mishum gezel. Another possibility, now you'll see in just a moment, by the way, Gemara is going to raise this as an issue. So if this is a correct pshat in the Gemara then is just basically asking this question twice. But what they were curious to know, not curious, but what they were asking as a shiloh is that, you know what, even though it's, yes, that the money comes from Sancheriv, but we know it's Sancheriv just defeated the 10 northern tribes. And so maybe this money actually belongs to Jews living up in the north. And that would mean that they didn't really willingly give up that money. That means that the money does not really belong to Sancheriv, it really belonged to the Jews. And for us to take it, that would be Gezel. Okay, so that is the question that they asked regarding all this loot. Amrulo. Avalo mamon, sorry, Amar lehem, I skipped a little bit, sorry, Amar lehem ke osef hachasil, and that's the answer, meaning like the locusts gather, meaning just like when you find locusts gather, what do? They take for themselves. So, ma osef hachasil kol echa ve'echa latzmo, ashochem kol echa ve'echa latzmo. No, when you go there, into the army of Sancheriv, and take all the loot, so you can take it for yourself. Amrulo, avalo mamon aser, so shvatim urevbo. So now they're asking, so according to Rashi's first pshat, this is now a new question. According to Rashi's second pshat, this is just the same question, just reiterated. But either way, so isn't there money of the northern kingdom? So Am Lehem Kim Mashek Avim Shokek Bo. So this is from that same pasuk that we quoted just a moment ago. This is the end of the pasuk. So just like the water flows and you tovel in the water, so what happens? You're metahir. Same thing when when Sancheriv took money from the northern kingdom, they cleaned the money. Meaning basically, It was money laundering. But I don't mean it like in a in a bad way. I'm meaning just simply that during wartime, when somebody takes money from somebody else, the money becomes theirs. So it was during wartime, so the money actually became Sancheirov's money. I know we're talking about Jewish money, but it was during wartime. And so therefore, when you now take it from Sancheirov, so it's totally in the clear. The money is clean. So Ma gave him, so the Gemara says, just like water, so it makes somebody tahor by toveling into the water. So same thing is true with the money. The money that goes into the hands of Sancheirov, once again, it was during wartime, so that money now becomes theirs, meaning Sancheirov's, and as a result of that, so when you take it from them, it's perfectly legitimate. It's clean money. And then parenthetically, we have a statement by Rav Papa, but it does have the same expression of Tiara Besichem, but it's not really related over here. It's in parentheses. Probably belongs in parentheses. But anyway, Am Rav Huna Eser Masos. We skip. So Am Rav Huna Eser Masos Naso Osa Rasha Ba Osa Ayom. So now we're discussing. We're going back just a little bit. We're discussing now the campaign that Sancheirov had for Yehuda. And in order for him to march onto Yehuda, so there were 10 stops along the way. And the Gemara goes on to explain, goes on to quote the Pasuk. It says, this is again, Yeshayahu, 10th Perek. Ba'al ayis avar b'magor l'michma shafkir kelav. Avru me'abra geva malon lanu charada harama giv ashal nasa. Tzali kolech baskalim akshiva liyasha niyah nasos. Nadadami damena yoshea gavim he'izu. So, by running through this pasuk, basically what I just ran over, are 10 locations where Sancheirov went in order to campaign and get to Yehuda. Now Rashi assumes that each place mentioned takes one day to walk. So in other words, this should be a 10-day journey, assuming that there are 10 stops along the way. Now, Hanituvi Avyan. Now, what I did not do as I read the pasuk is I didn't explain the name of each place. Now, first of all, it's not easy puzzle to translate, but number two is that it's not clear which is a name of a place and which is just rather a description. And what the Gemara right now is doing is the Gemara did its count, and the Gemara counted 12 places. To which the Gemara says, Tzali kolech bas galim. So the Gemara says, no. What we're going to do is we're going to take the phrase from that pasuk that we just quoted, Tzali kolech bas galim, and the Gemara says that we are not going to explain it literally as a name of a place, but rather it is a nevuah. And the Gemara explains. Navi hu dekamer lechnes Yisrael. The Navi says to the Jewish people, Tzali kolech bas galim. So the Bito shel Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov. So you are the daughters of, in other words, they're treating the Jewish people like Knesset Yisrael. Right? Knesset Yisrael, Lashon Nekeva. So you are the daughter of Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, who are described as Galim. They're like the waves. Shazu mitzvot kegala ayam. So, right? In other words, they do mitzvot like the waves of the ocean. So, and you are the progeny of that. Hakshiva Laisha. And that means to say, Mahai lo tistafe. No, don't be afraid of this. Meaning, this is nothing to be afraid of. Ella istafe, but you know what? I will tell you what to be afraid of, and that, of course, is Nebuchadnezzar Rasha. Dematav ka aryeh. Compared to like a lion. Shenemar ala aryeh misuv cho. So, Nebuchadnezzar is compared to like a lion, and that's based on a psukim from Yirmiyahu. So, in other words, basically what the Navi Yeshayahu is saying to the Jewish people is, this, don't worry. Meaning you're the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You have nothing to worry over here. Sancheirov is not going to defeat you. Oh, by the way, he says under his breath, there is something to worry about. That's Nebuchadnezzar. That's coming about 100 years from now. Okay, that you should worry about. But this is okay. This is nothing you should worry about. So my Anianasos. So, the Anianasos, once again, this is going back to the pasuk describing all the stops along the way in which Sancheirov goes down campaigning towards Yehuda. Aniana, so the Gemara goes on to explain, Asid Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu is Navi Allah. So that means that is a reference to Yirmiyahu, who is going to prophesize on Nebuchadnezzar. And the word Anasos, Anasos Dechsiv, and we know that Yirmiyahu was from Anasos. Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu, this is the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Divrei Yirmiyahu ben Chilkiyahu min HaKohanim Asher Ba'anasos Be'eretz Binyamin. Okay, so he was Ba'anasos. So that is what is that's the reference in the pasuk, and that's the not the name of the place, but rather the drusha that the Gemara is saying is that the nevuah that is forecasting to the Jewish people: don't be afraid here of Sancheirov, but you will there is something in the future to be afraid of. So mi dami hasam ari hachalayish. Now the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. Yes, I understand that. I understand the nevuah, but again, a careful reading of the psukim do not exactly describe hakshiva laisha. The word over here is the word used in Yeshayahu is laish. And we know that Yirmiyahu compares Nebuchadnezzar to a lion, but the word that's used over there is Ari. So Ari, Elisha, is that the same thing? But the Gemara says very simply, yeah, it's the same thing. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shisha Shemos Yesh La'ari. The Ari goes by 6 different names, Ve'elohen, Ari, Kfir, Lavi, Laish, Shachal, Shachatz. So the Gemara answers very simply, yeah, in other words, yeah, Laish and Ari are the same thing. Just 2 different names for a lion. Okay, so basically, here's what happened. So we have the pasuk describing the 10 campaigns of Sancheriv to go march down to Yehuda. The Gemara quoted the pasuk from Yeshayahu. We counted not 10, but we counted 12. So what we did is we cut out some of the names of places. And how do we do that? By saying that they're not names of places, but rather the nevuos. By cutting it down now, we get from 12 down to 9. So the Gemara says, and that's a little bit of a problem. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's a little bit of a problem. So avru ma'avra tartininu. So the Gemara says, Avru Ma'avra, which originally was counted as 1, now is going to be counted as 2. So this is your standard Chazal accounting, where basically we'll take a little bit of away over here, we'll add a little bit over there, the number comes out to 10. Okay. My Oda Yom Benov La'amod. Okay, now, once again, we go back to that 10th parak of Yeshayahu, and there was some sort of reference to Nov in describing Sancheriv's campaign. Now remember, Nov Yir HaKohanim was an event, an incident that took place during the days of Shaul. This is taking us back to Shmuel Aleph, where David HaMelech was running away from Shaul. Right. So he was hiding. Nov Yir HaKohanim, Nov, the city of the Kohanim, were the ones who harbored him. He was a fugitive. And Doeg reported this information to Shaul, and Shaul sent his generals to go. And the generals went, and they decimated the city of Nov, killing all the Kohanim of Nov. Okay, Doeg is going to suffer for that, which we're going to be discussing later in the Perek. But right now, the Gemara here is making reference to this event. This is the event which was really the downfall of Shaul. Shaul lost his kingdom as a result of that. He lost his sons as a result of that. Later this morning, the Gemara is going to point out, David also is going to have to suffer on account of this as well. Meaning not directly, obviously, but indirectly, he also had a hand in the destruction of the Kohanim of the city of Nov, so he also is going to he's going to pay for it as well. The Gemara later on is going to report that. But in the meantime, however, this is happening years earlier, obviously, right? Approximately 300 years earlier. So why, when talking about Sancheriv, are we making any reference to the city of Nov? The Gemara goes on to explain. My Oda Yom Benov La'amod. So I'm Rav Huna Oso Hayom. So meaning to say that when Sancheriv, on the day that he arrived at the border of Yehuda, so that was the last day. What does that mean, the last day? Me'ona shel Nov, of the time of Nov. Meaning to say, as Rashi points out over here, Rashi is on the right-hand column. I'm reading the Rashi inside. De'mibnei avon sh'ayalam li'Yisrael al shenargu kohen Nov. So there was the sin looming over the heads of the Jewish people, the destruction of the members of the city of Nov. Kavakash baruch hu ha'onesh ado sayom. And now the Jewish people were open to punishment to this very day. So again, approximately, I'm just giving a ballpark figure, it's approximately 300 years since the episode of Nov. So to this day, so basically the Jews were open for an accounting. Va'oso yom, I'm reading the Rashi. Va'oso yom bavan nishtar mizman ha'onesh. But this was the last day. Meaning that the day that Sancheriv arrived at the border of Yehuda, so this would have been it. Meaning, as the Gemara is going to spell out in just a moment, if Sancheriv would have attacked that very day, so then he would have destroyed them. Rashi goes on. If Sancheriv chose that day to attack, he would have destroyed Yerushalayim. And Rashi says, you read the pasuk carefully, you see this in the pasuk. Till that day, till that very day, the accounting books of Nov are still open, and the Jews could have been punished for Nov until that very day. Now Sancheriv speaks to his astrologers, and the astrologers give Sancheriv the right advice. If you go in today, meaning don't stop and take the army right in, yachatla, so you're going to be able to overcome it. V'ilo lo yachatla, but if you don't go in today, you're not going to overcome it. Orcha debaye l'segui ba'asar yuma sagi b'chad yuma. Now, it should have taken Sancheirev 10 days to travel from where he was to the edge of Yerushalayim and the edge of Yehuda. It took him 1 day. Now remember, I mentioned this before. The Pasuk in Shear that we described had 10 stops along the way. Rashi tells us that each stop assumes 1 day travel. So it should have been a 10 day travel. And they did it all in 1 day. They had what we classically refer to as Kfitzas HaDerech. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them a shortcut. So Ki Matu LeYerushalayim Shadulei Bistarka. So now, at this point in the Gemara, so what should have happened? Now we all know the conclusion. But what should have happened? So Sancheirev now had Kvitzas HaDerech, was told by his astrologers, now is the time to go. So of course, what should have happened is that Sancheirev should have come in, conquered Yerushalayim. What was his fall? What happened? And the answer is really simple, and it's really a powerful answer. Overconfidence. And Kimatu, and the Gemara describes this now. There's overconfidence. Kimatu Yerushalayim Shadalei Bistarke. So now he gets to Yerushalayim. Now what he does is he lays down the rugs. Okay, basically he's going to create a mound for himself. So Ad Desalak V'yasim Yilav Eshura. And now by creating this mound for himself, so he has an elevated look at Yerushalayim, and Ad Dechazel Kula Yerushalayim, he sees the entirety of Yerushalayim. Now what does he see? Now, in other words, obviously he sees Yerushalayim, but in other words, he sees something which doesn't impress him. Ki Chazi Yezuta Be'enei. Now he sees Yerushalayim, now what does it seem to him? It seems really small. It's a small place. Amar Halodahi Karted Yerushalayim. This is the city of Yerushalayim. And I'm imagining in my head, like he's heard about it over and over again, like the city of Yerushalayim. And he gets there and he's like, this is it? Really? The Alai Gagashta Kol Mishaita. I brought my entire army for this? Kavasha Kol Medinasa. I conquered all those lands just to get here? Like, this is it? Halo, he's the ear of Achalsha Mikol Karche Amama de Kafesh Mitzkufi Adi. It's smaller than any other land that I've conquered. You got to be kidding me. Alava Kama Umeni Bereshi. So he gets up and he stands and he kind of shakes his head. Like, no way. Like, this can't be. He waves his hand over Yerushalayim like, this is nothing. Like, this is not a big deal. Amre. So he says, I'm sorry. They say to him, meaning the army says to Sancheirev, Nishti be yada idna. Okay, well, let's go in today. Meaning we're here. So Amre lahu tamisu. So he says, nah, tamisu. Rashi explains, tamisu. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Rashi's still in the right-hand column. So Rashi, tamisu, tamahu latzchel hayom mishum chusha d'orcha. Like we've been traveling a lot. Now again, it's amazing for him to make that comment because they haven't been traveling a lot. They traveled for 1 day. They were supposed to travel for 10 days. They got kvitzas zaderach. Okay.
Exhausting.
Kvitzas HaDerech must intensify the entire experience. So anyway, Lamach Aisili Kochavecha Minaychum. So here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. In other words, then we'll rest and we'll go to sleep tonight. And tomorrow we'll go in. So Gumo Harag Minei. So, and you know what? Everyone will take a stone from the wall. Meaning we'll come back with souvenirs from our campaign against Yerushalayim. Everyone will have a little bit of the stone. So Miyad. So, and now the Gemara turns to Sefer Malachim. The Gemara just kind of weaves in and out of all of Tanakh as if like we're supposed to know it. By the way, we're supposed to know it. I'm talking to me. So anyway, so now we're in Malachim Beis. So we are in the 19th parak of Malachim Beis. This is where the episode is related in Malachim Beis. Vayi balayla ahu vayetze malach Hashem vayach b'machane Ashur mea ushmonim v'chamisha alaf v'eshkima baboker v'inei kulam pegarim meisim. That night when they went to bed, the malach goes and decimates and kills the entire 185,000 army, troop of the Assyrian army, and the next morning they wake up and they don't wake up. And then they're all corpses. Amra Papa da Hainu Dami Inshi Basdina. And Rapapa says, and here's an aphorism, here's an expression that's used, and it comes right out of this story. You hesitate and you let the judgment sit and you don't jump on an opportunity like that, Batal Dina. So you're gonna lose your judgment. So in other words, you have some sort of adjudication to be done, and now you say, oh, you know what, let's wait. Don't say that. Because if you let it wait, it's just going to it's gonna become null and void, and you lost your opportunity. And obviously over here, we're looking at one of the most historical moments of opportunity lost. I mean, it's good for us, by the way, obviously. More than good for us, right? It's how we survive. But from the perspective of the Assyrians and Sancheirev, like really opportunity lost. Okay. So obviously, well, we made some connection between Sancheriv and the city of Nov. So in other words, because of the horrific events at the city of Nov, so the books were opened against us for approximately 300 years. Meaning, why historically was that the last day? So I don't know. I don't have enough. Could be right. In other words, the Gemara does not say why specifically it was that point in time, but the books of Nov were opened up for almost 300 years or about 300 years, and so now what the Gemara is going to do, as it classically does, is it takes us back now in time, and we're going to go study a little bit together about the city of Nov and what happened over there and some of the surrounding events that happened around that time. Okay, so now we're in Shmuel. Shmuel Beis, I should say. Earlier I said Shmuel Aleph. Okay, I was wrong. V'yishbi b'nov asher b'yaldi harafa u'mishkal kina u'shlesh mas mishkal nechoshes v'uchagur chadasha v'yomar lakos es David. So the Navi in Shmuel Beis tells us in the 21st parak that there was this person in Nov by the name of Yishbi. He was one of the children of Harapa. Now, if you look at the name carefully, Harapa, so you're going to see another word there close to it in nature, and that's Arpa. And stay tuned, because in just a little bit we're going to point out that Harappa and Arpa are one and the same person. And he was a giant, which makes sense, by the way, because Arpa had another son who was also a giant. That one we know a little more. I would say is a little more famous. That's Goliath. So Goliath was one of the sons of Arpa, and this is another son. And so he was also a giant. And the Gemara describes his spear, and the Navi, I should say, describes his spear. So just the tip of the spear was 300 copper pieces. In other words, it was a very heavy spear. It was huge. And he wanted to kill David. Okay, my Vishbi Benov. So what does that mean, Vishbi Benov? So the Gemara goes on to explain. I'm Rav Yudah Marav, Ish Sheba al Iske Nov. The man was coming as a result of Nov, meaning that he, Yishbi, had nothing to do with Nov, but he was coming as a result of Nov. And the Gemara goes on to explain. I'm like Kadosh Baruch Hu David. I'm going to say, yeah, Avon Zeh Tamon Biadecha. You know, how long is this sin going to be in your hand? Al Yadcha, Nerga Nov Ir HaKohanim. Do you know as a result of you that Nov was destroyed? And the Aliyah Chanitra Doeg Adomi, and it is a result of you that Doeg Adomi lost his portion in the world to come, as we learned earlier in the Mishnah. And Aliyah Chan Nergu Shaul Shoshes Banav, and because of you, Shaul and his three sons died. Resoncha, now, would you want the following in terms of a punishment? Now, before we get to the punishment, again, I made this point earlier, but let's just reiterate. David was not directly responsible for any of this. Meaning, he's not the one who killed Novi or Kohanim. He's not the one who killed Shaul and his three sons. And he's not the one who told Doeg to go tell the Lashon Hara to Shaul. All this is al yidei grama. It's indirect. Meaning, David HaMelech was running to Nov because he was running away from Shaul. Okay. Now, grama benizakin is pater. Now, generally speaking, what do we say if something is indirect? So I don't have to pay. But at the same time, you are pater midine adam, but chai midine shamayim. Meaning that even though you were an indirect cause, but still, mina shamayim, so you still have what to answer for. So it's more Musa from today's Gemara, speak to the idea that even if you were not the one directly responsible for damages that were caused, you were indirectly responsible, but still, as long as you were part of the problem, you were part of the sin, so there you're going to have what to answer for. Now, admittedly over here, the punishment that David is going to have to suffer was tremendous. And David was given a choice. So, Ritzoncha Shiechal Zarecha. So here are your two options. Either number one, your children are going to be decimated. Which again, it's powerful. It's very very powerful. It seems harsh, but I'm not the accountant, so follow what the possible punishments are. Oh, timaser biad oyev. So here's one of your two options. Either your children are going to be decimated, they're going to be destroyed, or you're going to be handed over to your enemy. So like a good father, what is the answer? Amar lefanav ribono sha'olam mutav emaser biad oyev alo yichale zari. Oh no, I'll take the hit. In other words, I'll be handed over to my enemy, but my children, I don't want anything bad to happen to my children. Okay. And again, sounds like a good father. Okay, stay tuned. Yuma cha nafak lishkor bazai. So one day he went to go out hunting. David HaMelech goes out hunting. Okay, an activity of a nice Jewish boy. All right, he's David, meaning he's a hunter. So asa satan v'idme leketavya. So satan comes along and the satan appears like a deer. Pasuk be'gir v'lamatcha. Now David sends his arrow at what he thinks is a deer, but it doesn't get there. So mashke. So he's running now after what he thinks is a deer, but of course it's really satan. Adam tai laretz plishtim, until he gets to the land of the plishtim. Ki dechaze yishbi benov. So now Yishbi sees David HaMelech. Amar haynu hay dekatle legalya sachi. This man killed my brother. Now, like I said earlier, but now you get to see it inside. So in other words, Yishbi was the brother of Galias, the son of, the Navi described him as the son of Harappa, but now we know a little bit better, that's also the son of Arpa, meaning it's one and the same. So Kafte, so what does he do? So Yishbi takes David and he ties him up. So Kamte, and he folds him over. And Uzi Vishajitute Baja. And he puts them down under the olive press. And basically what now Yishbi is going to do, Yishbi the giant, the brother of Galias, is he's going to attempt to crush David HaMelech under the olive press. It avile nisa, and machale ara mituse. A miracle takes place. And the earth that's underneath David loosens up, and he sinks into the earth. V'ayinu dichsiv, and now 18th parak of Tehillim, tarchiv tzadi tachta v'lo ma'adu karsulai. My ankles didn't get broken, meaning because the earth was able to soften underneath me, so basically I survived that. Now, he didn't escape, meaning he's still a prisoner of Yishbi, but at this point in time, at least he's not dead. How yuma ipanya demal Shabbat Sahava. Now, that very day happened to have been an Erev Shabbos, the day that David was in mortal danger, attempted to be killed by Yishbi, still under the imprisonment of Yishbi. So havakachay v'resha ba'arbay. Sorry, I skipped three important words. Avisha ben Tsruya havakachay v'resha ba'arbay garbi demaya. So Avishai ben Tsruya, who was one of David's soldiers and also happened to have been a nephew of David as well, so he was shampooing his hair. Of course, it's Erev Shabbos, and Chazinu Kisme Dama. Now, what he sees as he's washing his hair is he sees little strains of blood running through the water as he's washing his hair. And Ike Da Amri, now some have the version, Asa Yuna Yitzharev Kameh. That what happened was is that a bird starts flapping its wings wildly in front of Avishai. So Amar, so Avishai says, Knesi Sisholioni Imatli. Now I know that the Jewish people compare to a dove. Shenemar Kanfeyona Nefach Bakesef. Okay, quoting the Pasuk from Tehillim. So Shma Mina David Malka Yisrael Bitsara Shari. So this is obviously a message. In other words, either the message comes from the streaks of blood that's coming out of the water as he's washing his hair, or from the dove flapping its wings wildly in front of it. So he knows that David HaMelech is now in trouble. So David Malka Yisrael Bitsara Shari. So he goes to David's house and he doesn't see David. So now, of course, he knows that David HaMelech is in trouble. Also, Amar, he gets there. I'm sorry. Also, the base of Aloshkeche. Amar Tanan. So he says, look, here's the problem. I got to go now find David HaMelech. And I'm going to take his mule. I'm going to ride his mule in order to get to him. However, it's David HaMelech's mule. It's the king's mule. And we know, we learned this back in the second parak of Sanhedrin together. Ein Rochman al Suso. You're not allowed to ride on the horse of the king. And Yoshua Nalkiso, he can't send his chair. V'emishamshim b'sharvito, he can't use his scepter. So b'shasa sakana mai. But now he had a shayla. And that is, but I think David HaMelech is in mortal danger. So am I now allowed to make usage of the king's horse, or in this case, the mule? I know generally, of course, you're not allowed to do so, but for sakana, am I allowed to do that? So, also shal be midrasha, they asked the question, the base medrash, amr le b'shasa sakana shapidam, and they said, yeah, it's okay. Hard to really understand, like, why.
How that's expedient.
Right. Well, right, it's not right. In other words, it doesn't sound like it's an expedient way to handle things. Also, on top of that, like, what's a shayla? Meaning, if David HaMelech's in danger, like, it's pekuach nefesh, like, okay, anyway. But they gave him the thumbs up. So Shapidami, yep, you could do that. Rachel Leparde, so he gets on to the mule of David HaMelech, V'kamvazon, he goes. V'kavtze le'ara, and he also had Kfitzas HaDerech, right? An underlying theme of today's daf, the Kfitzas HaDerech. So the Bahadur de Kamazke, as he was going there, Chazil Arpa Ime. So he was now going through Philistine territory in order to get to Yifshi, who is right now holding David as prisoner. And so as he's going through Philistine territory, who is he encountering? He encounters Arpa, the mother of Galias, the mother of Yishbi, right, who's currently holding David prisoner, and Dahava Navla. And she was spinning. So Ki Chazise, she sees now Avishai. She knows that Avishai is coming to try to save David. Paskala Pilche. So she takes the spindle. Now, I don't really visualize it, so I don't see this as being like a weapon. But basically, it must have been sharp and pointy. Okay. Shadate Ilave. She throws it at him and tries to kill Avishai. So Savra Lemikdale. She tries to kill him. So Amrale. Now, she misses him, meaning she doesn't hit him. So she says, excuse me, young man. I love this. Excuse me, young man. Could you pick up my little spindle? Meaning I must have dropped it. So, Alam, my young man. Icily plach, could you get me the spindle? So, paske beresh mucha vekatle. So he says, sure, no problem at all. So he picks up the spindle, and he doesn't hand it to her, but he throws it to her. He throws it into her head. It lands into her moach, lands into her brain. It penetrates the skull, and he kills her. Okay. So the death of Arpa. Kad Chazyei, Yishbi Benov. So now, so Avishai now continuing on his attempt to rescue David HaMelech. So he gets to Yishbi. Amar Hashta Havu Beitrein. So now Yishbi says, oh, now there are two of them. Meaning, when it was just David HaMelech, okay, fine. But now there are two of them. V'katanli, so they're going to kill me. So patkala David le'ila v'datz le'ila rimche. So what he does is he throws David up in the air, and he has a sword on the ground. The sword is pointing upward. And so now, as long as gravity does its job, so David is going to die. Now, why doesn't he just directly kill David HaMelech? It's a good question. I saw the question coming. It's obvious. And
all
these
villain movies.
Right, right. correct. I know. Okay. So it definitely demands some sort of answer. Amar Napal Alav Enictum. So David's gonna right. It's right. Sounds like one of those like old movies, right? David's gonna for sure die. So Amar Avishai Shem. So now what Avishai does is Avishai catches David midair, and he doesn't catch him literally, but in other words, says Shem Amafar, says Shem Hashem, and so David now gravity does not do its job. And David is just suspended in air. Ugman la David ben Shemai la Ara, David is just simply suspended in the air. V'neima le'ihu. Now, why didn't David just simply say Shem Amafarash? And why didn't David just simply stop himself? And again, another life lesson for today. Ein chavish motzi atzman bebeis asurim. A line that we see often in the Gemara. Somebody who is in prison cannot release himself from the prison. Somebody else has to take him out. In other words, David HaMelech was the prisoner. And even though the prisoner has the tools in which to get himself out, he can't do it. An outsider has to get the prisoner out of prison. The prisoner himself has a hard time doing so. Amarle my bias hacha. So Avishai says to David, what are you doing here? It's a simple question. It's a good question. So Amarle hacha amarle kuchabrichu. But David HaMelech says to Avishai, no. In other words, I'm supposed to be here. Meaning, I don't want to be here, obviously, but I'm supposed to be here. Meaning, this is my onesh. Meaning, in my involvement in the city of Nov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the choice of what punishment to take, either me or my children, and I chose me. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'hachi adrile, and this is what I said to him. In other words, basically, explain to Avishai, look, I don't want to be here, but magiali, meaning this is what I deserve. I don't know. Meaning, okay, I don't know. So Amar so Avishai says, okay, you know what? Let me counsel you on this matter. Choose option B. Now again, like I said earlier, any good father would choose himself over his children. And Avishai says to David, yeah, but you know what? I don't think you made the right choice. I think you should choose yourself over your children. So Apech Susech Bar Barach Kira Lizbon Va'alotitzar. Let your grandchildren sell wax. meaning even if it means that the consequences for your grandchildren are going to be terrible, you know, they're going to be poor, they're going to have to sell wax. I'd rather that than you not be mitzdayer. Now, is the Gemara saying this specific to this particular incident? Because he's Avnei Melech, because the Jewish people need him? Is the Gemara saying this for in general? Okay, right. What I'm asking are very, very difficult questions, but, and I don't know the answers per se, but certainly worthy of a consideration. So, Amar Lei Ihachi Seyab Adan. So help me out. Meaning, help me out on my tefillas. And now the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shmuel Beis, and that Avishai helps out David. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Sha'azro b'tfila. Help over here does not mean the physical help, right? In other words, helping and davening. Amar Avishai Shem v'achte. Avishai said a second time the Shem HaMafarash, and David descends. So Havaka Radif Basrayu. Now, Yishbi starts running after the two of them. Ki Mata, so Kubi. They get to a town by the name of Kubi. So, Amre, so David and Avishai said to one another, Kumbe. Let's stop running. Meaning, let's turn around and let's try to get him. So, Ki Mata, Beitre. They get to a town called Beitre. Amre, Beitre Goyen Katlu La'aryeh. So, is it possible? Meaning, can two little cubs kill the lion? Meaning, even the two of us can't kill him. Now, admittedly, by the way, it's a little bit difficult to understand. David by himself took out Goliath. So, but I'm assuming that Yishbi and Goliath are one and the same. Maybe not. Whatever the case is. Meaning, but, okay. They
sequence for these guys, like, is before after
Goliath? After.
He's much older now.
Well, we're right. Well, after. Right, Goliath was in Shmuel Aleph.
So David at this point is Mel.
He was yeah. He was
close to retirement.
Right. We're at the end of Shmuel Beis, towards the end of Shmuel Beis. So Beitre Amri, so Tre Goryan Kalalari, can two cubs kill the lion? Meaning Amri, so he felt like it wasn't a good idea. So Amri lay Zil Ishtaka Khlarpachime Bekivra. So then, knowing that just physical battle by itself, they're not going to be able to outdo Yishbi, so then they try a little psychological warfare. And they say to Yishbi, you know, where's your mother? Right? Go find your mother. And you know where you're going to find her? You're going to find her in the kever. Meaning, and of course, Avishai knows this, because Avishai was the one responsible for the death of Yishbi's mother. Ki atker leishma di'ime kachashchele. And the Gemara says, is it just by mentioning the mother, the name of the mother to Yishbi? So he had a chash kawach. His strength has faded. V'ainu dichsev az nishbu anshe David lo lemor. I'm sorry, right. V'ainu. I'm sorry. V'katle. You're right. And they were able to kill Yishbi. V'ainu dichsev. And now the Gemara quotes the pasuk. This is a continuation from what we saw earlier in Shmuel Beis, as Nishbu Anshei David lo lemor lo seitzei odi telam melchamav lo sechabez ner Yisrael. Okay, David HaMelech is not coming out out to us with war anymore. Meaning, this is now, like Hedy said earlier, this is like he's getting close to retirement. Meaning, okay, that's it. Meaning, we're not putting him in harm's way anymore. He's not going out to battle. Tanu Rabbanan Shlosha Kafsalama Aretz Eliezer Avid Avraham V'Yakov Avinu V'Avisha Ben Tzruya. So three people experienced Kfitza Saderech. Avishai ben Tzruya Hadamar. So the Kfitza Saderech of Avishai, as he was trying to rescue David from Yishbi. So we just went over that story. Eliezer Avid Avraham. So the pasuk says, Va'avo Ayom El Ha'ayin. So he gets there today to the Ayin. The word Hayom, an extraneous word, Lameimer Da'u Yuma Nafak. It was on that day that he left Eretz Yisrael, and on that day, through Kfitza Saderech, he was able to get to Rivka. Yaakov Avinu. And finally, the third of the Kfitza Saderech is Yaakov. Yetzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayele Charana. So Yaakov goes from Be'er Sheva and he goes to Charana. And Charan is in Chutz Aretz, and he gets there seemingly in one day. V'ksiva Yivra Ba'makom V'yel Hashem, Kiva HaShemesh. And he gets to a place known as Beit El, which is Har Maria, which is Yerushalayim. Kimat L'Charan. Now, all this on one day, where he goes, leaves Israel, gets to Haran. Amar Esher Avarti Al Makom shehispalo be'avosai va'ani lo hispalo bo. What's going on? Meaning, I just passed over Beit El, meaning Har Maria, meaning Yerushalayim. I had a chance to daven, I missed my opportunity. So by lamahader. So what he wanted to do is he wanted to retrace the steps because he wanted to go back to Yerushalayim. Kevin Dahir, Badaita lamahader, Kavsale Ara. And so, with that thought of going back to Yerushalayim, he experienced Kvitzas Aderech, Humiyad, Vayivka Babakom, and instantaneously, he gets to Yerushalayim. Davar Acher, and the Gemara says just one more thing, Vayivka, I'm sorry, Davar Acher ain't Pigia alot Tfila. Vayivka also means he davened. So Shinemar Vatal Tispala Badamazeva Al Tisab Adam Rino's Tfila Val Tifka B. Right, as per the more popular Gemara in Brachos, in Daf Chavav, the Gemara over there says that Yaakov at this point in time instituted the Mar of Daling, the Mar of Davening. So, okay, another meaning of the word Vayivka. Let's just do a couple more lines. Vayal and Shem Kiva Hashemesh, Basa Desai Bala Mahader. So he davened there in Yerushalayim and he wanted to leave Yerushalayim. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzadik Hu Bala Lebeis Malonai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, what do you mean? I have a Tzadik now in my house. Yipater below Lina, he has to stay overnight. Miyad ba Hashemesh. And the sun set immediately, meaning the sun set earlier than it should have. But Akash Baruch Hu basically allowed that to happen, for it made that happen, so that Yaakov Avinu would stay the night. By the way, parenthetically, you know, when you make Aliyah L'Regel, meaning Bimhir B'Yamenu, in our days, when we're going to do Aliyah L'Regel, so you know there's a halacha of Lina, which means that we can't go to Yerushalayim, and even after we brought all our karbanos, we can't just leave. We have to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. That's the mitzvah of Lina, the halacha of Lina. So over here, same. Meaning Yaakov Avinu was, you know, he had an Aliyah L'Regel. A little bit different, I understand, but still. He made it to Har Abayis. So he stayed. So Akash Baruch Hu forced him to stay the night. V'ayinu dichsiv, v'chi lo b'vad zarcha, v'lo l'cholam kula zarcha, el amar av Yitzchak, shema shebaba avuro, zarcha b'avuro. The son that got up earlier for Yaakov than it should have, also set for Yaakov that it should have. Meaning, two times in Yaakov's life, the sun was offset its regular times. One is when he was wrestling with the angel. And he needed the sun to heal him. Again, to the best of my understanding. He needed the sun to heal him. So what did the sun do? It rose earlier than it should for Yaakov, so that it would provide him the proper healing. Here, on the, so to say, like almost like a balance, so the sun set earlier for Yaakov than it should have, but that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu forcing Yaakov to stay overnight in Yerushalayim. Okay, we'll pause over here. Of Uminal and the Kalazari de David is where we're picking it up tomorrow morning.